Podcast 101. Hope you brought your dancing shoes. Welcome to the Mind Says Our Podcast, where we take a moment to get away from the mindless scrolling to focus on enhancing our quality and experience of life. Four pillars: health, wealth, love, and fulfillment. I'm your host and mindset coach, CJ Lee, and happiness is not a state to arrive at, rather a manner of traveling. Dr. Samuel Johnson. So do you consider yourself to be courageous? Well, this might sound a little crazy. This is a challenge to you to test your courageousness. And if you're in some public space, then a true test of courage is coming at you. But if you're in private, no excuses here. So what is your go-to dance move? If you don't have one, what first comes to mind? So I'm going to play just a few seconds of music here. And your challenge to prove your courageousness is to bust a move, even if it's just one. The rest of this podcast will be much more relatable and understandable if you do this. I know a lot of you out there are going to be like, that's stupid. Touche, I'd probably be in the same boat as you if I was listening to this. But for those of you out here who are the committed folk, give it a go. What do you got? The backpack kid move, the gritty, underwater scuba move. What's your thing? Test your courage and let her rip, and then I'll explain why. You run over there without a second to lose, and what comes next? Hey, bust a move. Good job. I'm congratulating you with the assumption that you did it. If you didn't, shame on you. Just kidding. Sorry. But odds are, if you did it, unless you have completely blunted your emotional connection to life, which I've been there too, but odds are making that move made you feel something in your body, whether it made you laugh or you were like, oh, hell yeah, I still got it. Or nah, let's leave that in the closet. You know, maybe you flash back to a quick memory of another time that you moved like that at a party or with friends or when you were singing and dancing in the shower. Well, odds are you felt and or thought of something. Therefore, something you did with your body resulted in a changed state in your mind and body. So the point of today's podcast is to talk about how you can build an emotional state intentionally through your own actions and through your own thoughts. So dance is an incredible way to do this. It's one of the most powerful tools that we have to affect the way that we think and feel. And if you've been feeling a little bit down, try this. Wake up to dance every single morning. Spend 3 minutes, play a song, and just try dancing to one full song in the morning. You can do it in the bathroom before the shower where nobody's going to see you. You know, you don't even have to go that crazy. Just turn on a little music, move your body to the rhythm, and see how that makes you feel. Odds are you will have a substantial positive shift or state in your mind. And what's happening is you're flooding your mind with positivity in the morning, which primes your body for confident, empowered, and enjoyable thoughts throughout the rest of your day. And if this is true, if we can program positive states, we're also setting ourselves up to program negative states. You know, to prove this to yourself, you could wake up and try curling up in the fetal position in front of the TV with some crap on that doesn't make you feel very good and hold that position that really resembles like a depressed vibe for you and see how that makes you feel. Sometimes just trying that is enough to sort of prove this concept to yourself, that we have the power to create our emotional disposition through the use of our body. Part of why a lot of people preach about going out for a jog or doing something active in the morning. It's releasing major endorphins and serotonin that moves our thought processes in a positive direction. Now, you can even look at actors who embody a specific role for a long period of time. It affects who they are. It affects the way that they feel. You know, even a sad example, Heath Ledger, who played the Joker in Batman. A lot of people equate to the loss of his life to taking on that role. Joker was this dark character that he embodied and he personified, and it became a part of who he was. It was deep wired into his body. So the things that we do, the things that we even pretend to be, the dancing in the morning or putting a damn smile on your face, they do get wired into who we are becoming. They do get wired deeply into our bodies, and they become the state that we carry. Even one of my good buddies who's an actor, Joseph Beznick, he's got a badass movie coming out that we just watched with him, End of the Rope. And in that movie, he took on a character that was very aggressive and had some dark tendencies. And he said afterwards, it took him a few weeks to snap out of it. He caught himself doing things where he's acting out in more aggression than he normally would. So sometimes we underestimate the power that we have to determine how we feel and think about life. We just think, oh, I feel this way and I think this way because of all the things that are going on in my life. Well, it's like, no, what are you showing up as? What character are you playing in the movie of your own life? You know, how are you positioning your body? Are you open? Are you excitable? Are you smiling? Are you moving around? Are you engaging with others? Because it's kind of like the whole chicken or the egg theory. What comes first? You get excited and then you go out and do things, or do you do things and then get excited? And the truth is, it goes both ways. So what we can do is intentionally pre-program. You take, hey, this is the state that I want to feel. What would it look like for me to be doing something where I felt that way? Go out and do it and see what happens. See if you start feeling that way. Odds are you will. So oftentimes, the body, the voice, it leads the mind. And I think it's very common in a lot of the clients that I speak with. They have the belief that it's the other way around. That, hey, if I'm happy, then I'm going to react in a positive way and my body will follow. But it's really quite the contrary. Your mind follows your body, your state, your physiology. It's creating a lot of the psychological reactions that you're having in the mind. And we're constantly building different elements of our character and our emotional disposition just in our body language alone. And you know, the more that we lean into different emotions and different actions, the more regularly we're going to experience them, the more they become autopilot. So push yourself to be consistent about stoking your body to really create those feels. Your body language, your facial expressions, your verbal language, they all impact your thought processes. And sometimes you got to fake it until you make it. You know, when I first really recognized this truth that my state of mind was something that I was creating, it wasn't just a reaction of circumstance. I started to fake it all the time. If I knew something incredible, like, hey, there's a beautiful view of a mountain range in Colorado or something that I saw, even if I didn't quite feel it with my heart, but I knew that was freaking beautiful, I'd say, wow, that is fucking incredible. You know, if I did something that seemed to be like an accomplishment, throw my hands up in celebration, even if I didn't really have that internal feeling. But what would happen was, as you would take that action, now you start to feel it. Now your mind says, oh, okay, something great is happening. Let's produce that good feeling neuro cocktail. You know, and this really comes back to the whole science of affirmations, or as Tony Robbins talks about, incantations, where you don't just say something, but you use your entire body to emphasize that experience. I think affirmations, I think incantations are great. I look at it more for me as if something great is happening, I want to embody that. I'm going to say that. And I'm careful about the words that I speak about myself and how I think of the things that I am and that I do. I don't necessarily repeat mantras, but I think that's a great idea to do. I have had phases in my life where I do that. But for me, it's like, how do you embody this on a daily basis? How do you show up and give that body language and those facial expressions that show that you're present, that show that you're happy to yourself, that tell your mind, listen, dude, we show up. We stand confidently. We go to those things that maybe other people are afraid of going to. And that tells your mind, all right, then we're chill. We can handle it. You know, but if you do the opposite, if you retreat, if you hide, if you cower down, if you close your body language, if you put on sad facial expressions, you're telling your mind, listen, dude, we're in panic mode. We need to hide. We need to turn away. So in many ways, the body leads the mind. So for our tool of the day, what is an emotion that you want to feel more of? Is it confidence? Is it empowerment? Is it excitement? Is it happiness? Is it a sense of purpose, passion, clarity? You know, what is a state that if you're like, you know what, if I could feel more of that, I would love it. And think about, what if you felt that in the past? You know, can you remember how your body language represented that state? And then do that. Do that motion, do that movement, make that dance or that facial expression and continue it. Put it into practice outside in the real world. And I want to give you a little bonus tool here today. This is kind of like a little Jedi mind trick that you can use. So as you are trying to build a specific state that you want to create more of, not only is it your body language, not only is it your facial expressions and the words that you're using, it's also things in your environment that you can use to trigger these specific states. So imagine this, you're sitting at a table in a big boardroom and you're waiting for a business meeting. You look out the window and you see this man that you're supposed to meet with sniffing this funny looking stick. And you're thinking to yourself, is this guy doing drugs before our meeting? And he walks in, everything appears to be normal and the business conversation goes really well. You know, you reach an awesome deal and you couldn't be more excited about it. And after the meeting, you know, you're feeling a little bit courageous and you ask him, you know, what were you sniffing before the meeting? And he laughs and he tells you, you know what, it was nothing illegal. He says, I was getting myself into state using a priming technique called anchoring, where what he does is he smells a specific scent that reminds him of past successes and opens his mind up to creativity, confidence, and really taps a deeper level of intelligence. And so you're a little bit confused and super curious for more information. So you say, oh, cool. And he passes you his business card and he says, call me if you need anything. And you look at the name and it reads Jordan Belfort. So Jordan Belfort is the man depicted in the movie Wolf of Wall Street, in which he's played by Leonardo DiCaprio. And one of the keys to sales successes that Jordan identifies is an olfactory anchor, which essentially means that you smell something that reminds you of a great state of mind and helps you to access the benefit of that mentality. So essentially how you do it is you find something with a very unique scent that fits into your pocket or that you can put in the room with you when you're doing a specific activity, and you choose the desired state of mind that you want to create the anchor for, such as, like we said, you know, whether this is excited, enlightened, focused, relaxed, whatever it might be for you. And then moving forward, whenever you naturally reach this state, you smell the scent. And it's the only time that you smell this scent. You do this over and over each time that you're in that state naturally, ideally about 10 times plus, and that really sets the anchor. And after you've rooted that scent enough times, then you're ready to use it when you want to actually trigger this state of mind or this scent. So that's a fun little bonus tool for you. If there is a state of mind that you want to create, pick a scent and create an olfactory anchor by sniffing it only when that state occurs naturally to begin with, and then you can start implementing it to trigger you to feel that way when you want to. So for me personally, I use a coffee-scented candle when I write and when I do my podcasts, and I use a lemon-scented candle when I make calls for real estate. So it really just gets you thinking, how can you modify your environment, especially through scent, to create states intentionally? So that is what we're working with today. Hey, it would mean the world to me if you want to leave a rating, a review, or share this with somebody that you thought might find value. But more than anything, I always appreciate you being here. So for more info on coaching, my book, Tune Your Mind, and other mindset motivation, head over to cjlinney.com. Beautiful time to be alive. This is the Mindset Czar podcast, and thanks for going MIA with me today.